your Old Testaments. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. I want to conclude with a message called This Turn of Events. From 1 Kings chapter 12, it's a rather lengthy text, but one that I want to share with you because it's a great Old Testament story. On the screen before you, from the New Living Translation, Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. "Your father was a hard master," they said. "Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects." Rehoboam replied, "Give me 3 days to think this over, then come back for my answer." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects." But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. "What is your advice?" he asked them. "How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father?" The young men replied, "This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, "My father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips. I will beat you with scorpions." So, the king paid no attention to the people. Here's the shocker. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, guide our thoughts, direct us. There is a lot of emotion here today for me. I pray that you would guide me by your Spirit. Use me. Use this truth to encourage this congregation. We are trusting you for a very bright future. And I pray that this sermon will help lay the groundwork for just that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, some of the old TV shows like Candid Camera and The Imitators That Followed all thrive on one seminal moment, that turn of events that occurs when the victim realizes they have been pranked. Watch this. Well, this morning, I want us to see a biblical example of another turn of events. And as we see this story unfold, I think the application to our lives and to this church will become very, very obvious. First, in your notes there this morning, I want you to write down the turbulence of events. The turbulence of events. King Rehoboam was the son who had it all. The former governor of Texas, Ann Richards, once said this about George Herbert Walker Bush, That's George W.'s father, in the 1988 campaign against Michael Dukakis. One of the more memorable political clips from the United States. However, that didn't work out very well for the Democrats that year. What a clever turn of the phrase, though. Born with a silver spoon in his mouth, of course, is what it's supposed to be. And that's someone who inherited their wealth, like the king in our story. Rehoboam's very name meant enlarger of the kingdom. And he was the heir to one of the greatest empires in antiquity. Rehoboam inherited his father Solomon's illustrious wealth and name and fame. This young king reaped the benefits of this long period of peace and prosperity in Israel. His coffers were full of money. His barns were stacked with grain. The cities were teeming with supplies. Rehoboam had a powerful army to guard the land, a mighty navy patrolling the sea. Friends, if this was a tennis match, we would have to say, advantage, Rehoboam. Historian and Cambridge University professor Lord Acton once said, absolute power, write this down, corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's precisely the outcome in our story. The king could have chosen a few conciliatory words, according to verse 7. This could have saved the entire kingdom from division and insurrection, but the young ruler refused to listen to the elders. Reminds me of a minister who took two laymen deer hunting. As they crossed the field going into the woods, a huge buck jumped up in their path. All three men fired at once. The deer dropped. Now they had a problem. Who did the kill shot? Well, the game warden arrived and offered to sort out their dilemma. He examined the deer and then he made a very strange comment. He said, "One of you must be a pastor." The minister identified himself. The warden congratulated him on the kill. All three men were amazed at the ability of the game warden to figure this out so quickly. So one of the laymen asked the obvious, "How did you know that it was the pastor's shot that scored?" Without missing a beat, the warden said, "Well, look here, it went in one ear and out the other." That's how you feel sometimes in the ministry. In one ear and out the other. Well, that's exactly what happened to the elders' council here in our Old Testament story this morning. In one ear and out the other. Rehoboam chose instead to listen to his brat pack of young advisors, thus courting disaster for Israel. The rebellious king chose to dance on the edge of the volcano, similar to Nero fiddling as Rome burned. His reply in verse 14 signaled the beginning of the end. He told the people, "My father was harsh, but I'm going to be even harsher. My father used whips, I'll use scorpions." Both politically and religiously, the unity of God's chosen people was hopelessly broken by this wanton act of terrorism. History records the fact the kings who reigned over those divided kingdoms after Rehoboam were caught up in a succession of crime, confusion, and carnage. This mutinous monarch set in motion a turbulence of events that plagued Israel for several generations. You know, all of us can relate in some way to this kind of turmoil. We can each think of a Rehoboam in our lives who came along to wreck, to ruin that which seemed to be so right. Someone may have bitter memories here this morning about that other woman, that other man who disrupted a marriage. Maybe this led to separation, a divorce, a depression, maybe all three. A young person here may be struggling with a dating relationship that is ending or a friendship falling apart. Another person here may have lost a job The prospects of finding new work are dim. House payments backing up. Maybe the threat of bankruptcy looming. Perhaps you recently lost a loved one. It was sudden, totally unexpected. The shock, the despair, overwhelming. Someone else may be worn out from a long-term illness. Or you're the caregiver for such a person, feeling frustrated by the lack of answers to nagging questions. Churches go through difficult seasons of change and turmoil. Now, as evidenced in the text, God's people are not immune from turbulent times. In fact, it would more often seem to be the case that the truly dedicated Christian, please write this down, is even more subject to trials and temptations. The truly dedicated Christian is even more subject to trials and temptations. It can be frustrating to observe godless people seemingly going through life so carefree. Jeremiah brought this complaint to the Lord in the form of two questions. Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why are evil people so happy? He says in Jeremiah 12:1. Yes, God will give us a rose garden, friends, but thorns are part of that package. In the light of this truth, I think it's vital to take note of the follow-up to turbulent times, because in our text next, we see the turn of events. I want you to see this. Roman numeral 2, the turn of events. So the turbulence of events gives way to the turn. The king paid no attention to the people's demands. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. You know, every once in a while someone makes a stunning announcement. It just blows everybody away. I'm thinking of the time on Seinfeld when Kramer told Jerry that he got a job. TCB, taking care of business. Well, that's exactly what we have here. A stunning announcement. How could it be that this disastrous decision of Rehoboam was even remotely related to God's purpose? The answer is a combination of the simple and the profound. Our Lord can use the wrath and the folly of man to praise Him. In this case, it was the sheer madness of an immature king that God used for His own wise purposes. Ultimately, the divine plan was preserved by maintaining God's choice of the house of David. You see, this turn of events fulfilled the prophecy back in Genesis 49, verse 10, that the scepter should not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. So Jehovah was able to take the unwise choice of a rebellious king and utilize the result of that poor decision to chart His good and perfect will. This is a stunning announcement. Bible commentator John Waite says this of Rehoboam's ruinous ways. All streams of human folly and wrong, wandering and tortuous as they may be, become tributary to the great river of His purpose. Friends, history is full of illustrations in the way God commands the evil of the world to serve Him, even though in itself it is essentially at variance to His will. The story of Joseph is so on point here. Sold into slavery, left for dead by jealous, scheming brothers. But Jehovah turned that disaster into a dynasty that saved, multiplied thousands of lives. Listen to Joseph's summary. As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to the high position I have today so I could save the lives of many people. And somehow Joseph did all this without saying, nah, 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 nah. You know, we never know what hidden blessings could be just around the corner. If we're not watchful, we could miss them. Yes, we could miss them altogether. Heard about this coach whose team had just lost a very close basketball game, and on the way to the locker room, this coach spotted a cell phone lying on the floor, and here comes the referee. Here, he called to the referee, "I think this phone's yours." "What makes you think it's my phone?" asked the ref. "Oh, that's easy. Look here, it says 14 missed calls." Well, just like a referee can miss a call, we can miss God's special gifts to us. And so it is that the turbulence of events, write this down, gives way to the turn of events, that special moment in time when we realize that we are caught up in a divine design. God has turned that which was meant for evil into good. That couple headed straight for divorce court experiences a breakthrough. They get back together. The marriage becomes stronger than it was at the beginning. The person who lost a job hears the phone ring again. The prospect of a good income unexpectedly returns. And with the 2020 vision of retrospect, he or she sees how the Lord used that downtime to draw him closer to himself. The young person who was so downcast about that dating relationship that ended painfully comes to realize in God's time that he had a more suitable mate picked out for him. I've told you several times that I thought I heard wedding bells throughout my college years. I was just a ding-a-ling. I graduated single, and then 4 years later had the privilege of running into a beautiful woman by the name of Arliss Diener. God knew what he was doing. But the healing process of time, the Christian who suddenly lost a loved one begins to see the larger purposes of God. The larger purposes. The one afflicted with a long-term illness can finally just admit to the mystery of God's ways. The caregiver for these suffering saints begins to see the hand of the Lord in all things. And there's this new sense of patience to wait for that day, get this, when everything will be made crystal clear. Aren't you glad that day's coming? I sure am. Someday, we're going to know as we're known. Tom Allen Ministries was born in the crucible of some very turbulent events in October of 1995. After an extremely difficult ministry experience, God spoke clearly to my wife and me about returning to itinerant preaching. I remember the CNMA vice president of church ministries telling us he had no money to offer along with the title of national evangelist. They couldn't even give us health insurance. But my wife and I were convinced that God was calling us back to the specialized ministry of the outside voice. We launched out in faith and obedience without a clue as to how the bills would be paid. From that day to this, we have never missed a payday. God has been faithful in every way. But it looked like the money was running out and churches were no longer having special meetings in the fall of 2001. The Lord introduced us to the important ministry of the intentional interim pastor. And for the last 13 years, we've been able to help 10 churches in this very specialized field. Friends, my wife and I can look back now at those painful events in 1995 and say with confidence, this turn of events was from the Lord. I know that we are deeper. We are more humble servants for having gone through those various calamities. We can now see how the Lord has converged all of the experiences of our lives and ministries to prepare us for this work of intentional interim service. Listen to me this morning. He didn't waste even one of our sorrows. Not one. And he is not going to waste one of yours either. He doesn't know how to do that. What are those turbulent events in your life about which God wants you to say this morning, this turn of events was from the Lord? Can we boldly proclaim by faith that the turn of events here in this congregation that led to this transitional inter-ministry we have been experiencing for almost 2 years now, it's from the Lord. This time has been from the Lord. A young child this morning told me through his mother that he didn't want Pastor Tom to go. Might be the highest compliment I've ever been paid from a child. But friends, this turn of events, even in my departure at this time, is from the Lord. Final consideration, of course, the timing of events. Someone has wisely said, God is seldom early, but he is never late. God is seldom early, but he is never late. The Lord was able to use the timing of Rehoboam's rebellion. It wasn't a minute too soon, nor was it a moment too late. Wouldn't you agree that as believers, we struggle more intensely with God's time clock than any other aspect of his character? We just struggle with his time clock. It's easy to accept a positive turn of events as part of, that's God's great providence. But when we're trapped in the turmoil of turbulent times, we wrestle with impatience as we wait for the Lord to act. We can't always see God's timing with clarity. Reminder of that man who went to the optician and walked up to the counter and said to the person on duty, "Man, I think my eyes are going bad." The person behind the counter smiled and said, "Buddy, your eyes are gone already. This is McDonald's." Remember this stubborn fact. God simply does not know how to be tardy. Seldom early, never late. He was right on time for Noah and his family. The angel grabbed Abraham's forearm. Literally, the moment the knife was plunging on a downward arc toward Isaac's chest. The Lord demonstrated split-second timing in opening the Red Sea for the children of Israel, closing it on the Egyptians. Job rescued from total despair and, frankly, physical extinction. In just the nick of time, we're told Jesus came to earth in the fullness of time. That is to say, right on schedule. Christ warned those who wanted to push him too fast into the limelight, "My time has not yet come. Don't push me." Friends, Solomon was right. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. My wife and I have no doubt whatsoever that we came here to you at CMBC at just the right time in the role of intentional interim pastor. We believe God allowed, God arranged a series of events that brought us to you, just as he did to now take us to Mansfield. I still cannot get over in my mind how the morning I was preparing to go into my first set of interviews there in Winnipeg, I got the call from the district superintendent in Ohio asking me if I would consider Mansfield. The timing of those kinds of things, so uncanny, so obviously God. So let's summarize. The turbulence of events gives way to a victorious turn of events in God's perfect timing of events. What blessed hope, what energy for service can be derived from this truth? Someone here today in the midst of a tumultuous storm, listen, take refuge in the Lord. Patiently wait for that turn of events according to His timetable. God's ways may seem odd to us, even the opposite of what we had assumed. But He knows what He is doing. He makes no mistakes. In the words of that old hymn that I love so much, blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Doesn't get it better than those words right there, except for the scriptures themselves. God is His own interpreter. He will make it plain. I told you about that candidate that we came very close to inviting for a visit to the church here, and the search committee would all agree with me that we were absolutely stunned when all of that came crashing down. I believe this turn of events now was from the Lord. God was protecting His body here. He has a better plan. This is my message of hope today for CMBC. Let's believe with all of our hearts that God is putting together something very special through each and every turn of events in this congregation. And as we walk humbly before God, the last thing I want you to fill in this morning is this. As we walk humbly before God, as we are willing to learn from the past, we can trust Jesus for this. Write it down. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I believe that for this church. I have seen this in 9 other churches where this is literally being fulfilled. They are in the best days now. And I'm trusting Him for that here at CMBC this morning.